Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a future jungle edit distort breakdown from scratch in Ableton Live 12, and even if you're brand new, this is going to be totally doable. The vibe we're after is that classic moment in a drum and bass track where everything starts to feel unstable in the best possible way. The break gets chopped up, the drums start wobbling, the bass gets dirtier, and the whole section feels like it's collapsing toward the drop. That tension is what makes this style hit so hard. We'll keep it beginner-friendly, but we're still going to make something that sounds real. By the end, you'll have a 4-to-8 bar breakdown with a chopped break, a simple sublayer, distortion and filter movement, and a resampled audio version that you can place right before a drop. Let's start by setting the tempo. Open a new live set and set your BPM somewhere between 170 and 174. That's a very comfortable zone for future jungle and darker D&B. If you're not sure, just start at 172 BPM and move on. Now drag in a sampled break onto an audio track. A classic amen break is always a good starting point, but any clean break with clear kick and snare hits will work. Don't worry if it sounds too plain right now. That's exactly what we want, because we're about to turn it into something much more interesting. Make sure warp is on, and use beats mode so the drum transients stay punchy. If the break sounds smudged or stretched weirdly, tweak the transient controls until the hits feel clear again. A lot of beginner breakdowns fall apart because the source audio is too loose, so spend a second here and get the break feeling solid. Next, we're going to slice the break into playable pieces. Right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Slice by transients, and let Ableton place the hits onto a drum rack. This is one of the easiest ways to turn a break into something musical instead of just looping it. Now you can either play the pads in or draw MIDI notes manually. If you're drawing them in, keep it simple. Put a main kick on beat 1, a snare on beat 2, another snare on beat 4, and then add a few small ghost hits or offbeat chops around that. Think of it like a drummer who's not trying to be perfect, but is trying to keep the groove moving. Here's a really useful beginner mindset. Don't try to fill every space. In jungle and future jungle, the groove often sounds better when there's a little breathing room. Too many hits too early can make the break feel messy instead of exciting. Let's build a two-bar loop first. In bar 1, establish the groove. In bar 2, answer it with a small fill or a couple of extra chops. That call and response idea is huge in this style. For example, you might keep the main snare hit strong, add a quiet ghost snare just before one of them, and drop in a kick pickup on the way into the next bar. If it feels too rigid, add a little swing. You can use the groove pool and try a light MPC style groove. Keep the strength low, around 10 to 25%. We want human movement, not a fully shuffled mess. And if the break starts sounding too busy, simplify it. Seriously, in this genre, clarity matters more than non-stop activity. Now let's give the breakdown some weight underneath with a sub layer. Create a new MIDI track and load up operator or wave eatable. Keep the patch simple. A sine wave or something very close to a sine is perfect. We don't want a huge bass patch yet. We just want something that supports the break. Write short low notes that follow the kick pattern. Keep the notes down in the C1 to G1 range depending on your track. Make the envelope quick. Almost no attack. A short decay if you want punch, and a short release so it stays tight. Also, make sure the sub stays mono. That is really important. If the low end feels like it's fighting the drums, use a compressor or an EQ to keep it under control. The rule here is simple. The sub should support the energy, not compete with it. In future jungle, the low end often feels like it's pulsing underneath the chaos, not overpowering it. Now we get to the fun part, the edit distort breakdown sound itself. Put your break through a chain of stock Ableton devices. A really solid beginner chain is saturator, then drum bus, then auto filter, then echo, and maybe redux if you want a little extra digital grit. Start with saturator and add a few dB of drive. Turn soft clip on if you want it to stay controlled. Then add drum bus and push it a little harder, but not so much that it destroys the groove. After that, use auto filter and slowly close the low pass filter over the course of the breakdown. You can also add a touch of resonance if you want that narrowing, tunnel-like feeling. If you want more texture, add redux lightly. Don't overdo it unless you want the sound to get very broken and crunchy. A little bit can add excitement. Too much too soon can make the top end harsh. Then add echo for rhythmic tails. Set the feedback low to moderate, and try timing it to eighth notes or quarter notes depending on the feel you want. The key here is automation. Start the breakdown cleaner in the first bar, then increase the drive, filter movement, and echo depth over the next few bars. Think of it as the break slowly melting. You're not just distorting the sound, You're evolving it into distortion. That's the whole idea of the edit-distort approach. Now let's make it even more believable by resampling. Create a new audio track and set the input to resampling. Arm it, then record 4 bars of your processed break. This is a great move because it prints all the little effects, tails, and movement into one audio file. Once it's recorded, you can trim the best section, fade it cleanly, and even chop it again if you want. Resampling makes things feel more like a finished record. It also gives you more control. If there is a cool delay tail or a weird distorted hit, you can keep that exact moment and reuse it. Sometimes the mistakes become the best part of the breakdown. At this stage, you can really shape the tension with automation. Try automating filter cutoff down over time, increasing echo feedback in the last bar, and widening the reverb a little in the middle section. You can also lower the overall level by a couple of dB at the start so the breakdown feels like it's pulling away from the drop. A nice trick is to mute the sub briefly before the drop. Even a half bar of reduced low end can make the return hit much harder. In dark DNB, contrast is everything. The more you control the open and closed moments, the bigger the drop will feel when it returns. If you want a more atmospheric edge, use hybrid reverb or regular reverb, but keep it under control. A short pre-delay helps the break stay readable, and a moderate decay gives you space without turning everything into mud. Also, high-cut the reverb if the top end starts getting fizzy. Now group your break and any extra percussion into a drum bus. On that group, use a QA to clean up the very low rumble, maybe dip some mud in the low mids, and then add a glue compressor for a little cohesion. Just a few dB of gain reduction is enough. The goal is to make the break feel like one unified phrase, not a bunch of separate samples fighting each other. If you want a little extra bite, a drum bus or a touch of saturator on the group, but keep it punchy. In darker DNB, the drums should feel aggressive and alive, not smeared and washed out. Now think about the arrangement. Don't just loop the breakdown forever. Give it a shape. A simple approach is to let the first 2 bars establish the chopped break, then increase the grit in bars 3 and 4, and then use bars 5 and 6 for a more open, echo-heavy tension section. The last bar can act like a pickup into the drop. That phrasing matters a lot. A good breakdown feels like a story. It starts readable, gets stranger, then empties out just enough to make the return feel huge. That's the whole future jungle energy. A few things to watch out for. If you distort too early, the breakdown loses its build. If the break gets too busy, the groove disappears. If the sub is too loud or too wide, it will fight the drums. And if you drown everything in reverb, the edit gets blurry. So always ask yourself, can I still feel the snare placements? Can I still follow the low-end pulse? If yes, you're probably in a good place. One more teacher tip. Check the edit at low volume. If the groove still makes sense quietly, that usually means the rhythm is strong. If it only works when it's loud, you may need to simplify it a little. If you want to push this further, try duplicating the break and using one dry chain and one dirty chain in parallel. Or make a fake drop by stripping the drums away for half a bar before the real return. You can also reverse a tiny cymbal or ghost hit before a snare to make the transition feel more intentional. Small details like that go a long way. Here's a quick practice challenge. Take one break, slice it, write a 2-bar edit, add a sine sub, put saturator and auto filter on the break, automate the distortion and filter over 4 bars, resample it, and then trim the best 2 bars to loop as your breakdown. Keep it simple and focused. You're not trying to build a whole track right now. You're just learning how to make tension in a convincing way. So the big takeaway is this. Start with a sampled break. Chop it into a musical phrase. Support it with a clean mono sub. Then use distortion, filtering, echo, and resampling to create a breakdown that feels like it's falling forward into the drop. If it sounds a little dirty, unstable, and exciting, you're doing it right. That's the future jungle mindset. Sample drums, controlled chaos, and a drop that feels earned.